Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I don't know if you heard about what the shootings that are taking place in Chicago, but they're actually discovering something very interesting. The shootings that are taking place and how they're realizing being fatherless has something to do with it. Listen to CBN News.
Chicago is known for its high rate of gang violence and murder. The new year brought the city its deadliest January in more than a decade. So the mayor has put more police officers on the street. But as Ephraim Graham reports, there's another approach underway to fight the root cause of the deadly violence.
More than 40 people have been shot in just over 2 days.
It's an unfortunate reality, as reliable as the morning sunrise.
The latest deadly shooting was last night at 68th in Ridgeland.
A new day brings another tale of gun violence in Chicago.
This morning, a 17-year-old boy is dead after an argument on the court.
Tears you up. Tears you up.
Ricardo Martinez's son served two tours in Iraq. After returning home, he was shot while sitting in his car. The convicted gunman thought he was a rival gang member. That was almost 7 years ago.
You get up and you go to work and you cry all day, you know, while you're working. And then you get home at night, you look at the news, and it just feels like they just killed your son again when you see another parent going through the same thing.
There's not a day that goes by that either I don't shed a little bit of a tear, or there's not a day. I honestly don't see it ever being a day.
Chicago police still search for who shot Monica Russell's 18-year-old son 12 times as he walked home from school in 2009.
Gangs like to claim stuff like it's a trophy almost.
How do you prepare yourself for that?
And just weeks ago, Tanita Cofield found herself faced with the same violent reality.
My son had been shot in the head, and he also had a gunshot wound in his left hip. So that tore me apart.
Chicago saw more than 500 murders in 2012, and in the first month of this year, more than 40. That's three times what New York City saw in the very same month. As that death count continued to rise, number 42 sparked outrage from the Windy City to the White House. A 15-year-old honor student gunned down at this park, only a mile from the president's Chicago home. And just after she performed at his inauguration, along with her school's marching band. Hydea Pendleton and her friends simply wanted shelter from the rain.
A rival gang determined wrongfully that these individuals who were standing at that spot were members of a gang and fired into the crowd.
The mayor put more police officers on the street, but this problem is bigger than the CPD.
We traced it back to this address.
A janitor by night, Andrew Holmes works as a community activist by day.
I'm on a mission now to just try to calm down some of this gun violence because I've been on both sides.
Holmes takes crime tips calls, follows the leads, and visits crime scenes to comfort victims and their families. Photos of four-year-old victims cover his desk. This is personal. Holmes was shot in gang crossfire more than 18 years ago and nearly died.
It was tough. Still tough now when you think about it, you know.
That pain drives Holmes to also reach out to gang members. They often call him Preacher Man because he's armed with a message of hope, even when convincing them to turn themselves in to police.
If you coming up with a gang mentality lifestyle, you can't possibly raise a son or a daughter. You cannot be a father. That's not a father figure.
Scripture calls for believers to defend the cause of the fatherless. That's what pushes these men and women to tackle the city's rising gang violence.
At the beginning of the year, I had a close friend of mine who was gunned down 7 times, shot for mistaken identity.
Youth pastor Keith Woodley works in an outreach program called GRIP. It partners with Chicago churches to put young men and women in contact with Christian mentors.
Real life would take you to prisons, to hospitals. You're getting the 2 a.m. phone call
and needing to respond. But it's also inviting kids over for movie night.
Mentor director Brian Dye takes the ministry a step further. He lives and pastors a house church in West Garfield Park, one of the areas hit hardest by the violence. Bullets ripped through his home the night his family moved in.
We stayed up all night just praying, seeking out God, singing praises to him, thanking him for safety in the midst of it. And about 5 o'clock in the morning, my wife looks at me in the eyes and she says, Brian, I know what the world says we should do, but this convinces me that we need to stay.
That was 8 years ago. Monday nights, GRIP brings hundreds of kids and their mentors together for fun, games, prayer, and Bible study. The weekly celebration is called SLAM, and it's loaded with life messages.
Don't let where you come from determine where you're going to go. Like, just because you're in a messed up predicament now don't mean that it's always going to be like that.
Faith and hope that can generate the power to rise above the violence. Ephraim Graham, CBN News, Chicago.
Well, you think that's just amazing that we're finally getting to the cause. It's the breakdown of the family. But the problem is that the government is doing things to destroy the family. I mean, think about the statistics here. These are some statistics that you can find at the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com about the state of fatherhood and the father's presence. An estimated of, and this is an older stat, it's much higher now, 24.7 million children live absent from their biological fathers. 2 years after divorce, 51% of children in sole mother custody homes only see their father once or twice a year. Or never. That's 51%. Mm-hmm. Think about that. 42% of fathers fail to see their children at all after divorce. And the statistic goes on, because the mother makes it geographically or financially impossible. She's done with him, but of course we're finding out the kids are not done with their father. According to 72.2% of the U.S. population, they say that fatherlessness is the most significant family and social problem facing America. But isn't it interesting that, but you're against them in your policies, but you're against them in the marriage. But you're against him in the family. You're against him in media. Mm-hmm. You're against him in government. I mean, give the man a break. You're seeing what happens when this father is absent from their lives. 43% of urban teens live away from their fathers. 90% of homeless, listen to this, 90%. You're looking at all these homeless and runaway children. 90% of homeless and runaway children come from a fatherless home. 90%. Man, let me tell you something. You know, right now your child's like 2 years old and you're thinking about yourself. And you're thinking you don't like this man, their father. But let me tell you something. 90% of the homeless and runaway children that you say you're compassionate about and that you care about come from mothers who chose not to work it out with the child's father. 90%. Marriage is not about you. It's about God. He made the two one for godly offspring. That's the purpose of marriage and family. 80% of rapists motivated by displaced anger comes from fatherless homes. 60% of repeat rapists grew up in fatherless homes. 71% of pregnant teenage girls lack a father in their life. 63% of youth suicides come from a fatherless homes. 85% of children exhibiting behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. And 90% of adolescent repeat arsonists live only with their mothers. Think about all, everything ties to this father's presence. That, what does that mean? It means that not only do we need to support fathers being present, but we need to support him being a father. We don't need to put him down. We don't need to create things that disrespect his leadership. We don't need to create school systems that tell fathers how to lead their homes. We don't need to create government policies that tell fathers how to take over their role as the father of their children. You need to support him. Don't put yourself in between the parents and the children. Right? 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 71%. Think about it. 71%. 75% of adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from what? Fatherless homes. Mm-hmm. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes. They don't have a father. And 85% of youth sitting in prison, 85% of them come from fatherless homes. It's just over and over and over again that absence of the father brings destruction. That's why everything in the arsenal of the devil is against marriage. He's against fathering. Notice how the mothering has just—it's like you don't ever hear much about that. I mean, it's just like it's like a given.
Yeah.
But fathering, you know, it's optional, as some had said. Adolescent females between the age of 15 and 19 years raised up in homes without fathers are significantly more likely to engage in premarital sex than adolescent females who grew up with homes with a mother and a father in them. Hmm. I mean, just over and over and over. Mental illness, poverty, all these different things can happen. It's just really, it can happen to anybody, but the statistics just say it's just huge. And now there's these shootings. You remember I gave a word years ago. I said, listen, if you don't turn your hearts to them,
that's
they
right.
will turn their guns to you. Mm-hmm. And it's not because somebody wants to kill you. It's that they're angry and they can't find a way out of this. And understanding that you still, we talked to the fathers for a moment. It's hard being a father. It's hard being a father in this culture. This culture is against you. I mean, if you're walking this thing out, everybody's talking to your kid and telling them everything opposite that you would have told them. Teachers are teaching things as if they're the father of your daughter or the father of your son. People who call themselves friends of the family are speaking against your leadership. Sometimes, you know, even your own wife is being held captive to be able to divide you from your kids, where you say, listen, this is the way the family needs to go. But as soon as you walk out the door, as soon as you walk out the door, I mean, she don't see it this way, but it doesn't matter how you see it. It matters how it is. And the wife says, okay, now your dad's gone. Let's go ahead and do this thing. And the kids see you've undermined his authority. And eventually you'll see that same kid undermine yours and their father's authority. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but you know, it pays off. It's worth it. First of all, as a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, you know, I don't know how you can do it, you know, and care and be a father without God in this environment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can just like have children and kind of watch them exist and whatever. Mm-hmm. But actually care about their future and where they're going. But understand that you're doing the right thing. It's going to be hard. There's going to be, you know, you're going through the same thing everybody else is going through. You're going through the pressures of understanding how the family's going to make it. You're different than your wife because she's a female and you're a male, and y'all are built differently in your emotions and how you handle things. And you maybe can't share your life like you would, but you need another brother in your life. You need to be able to walk with other men. And listen, if you've been going to church in a fellowship that you've been sitting beside somebody for like the last 5 years and you don't even know their name, start thinking about building relationships with a few other guys in that fellowship. And just begin it. Just slowly build a small group and begin to hang out with each other in the good times, because the bad times will come and you can encourage each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're against that, you need to find somewhere that you can actually be a Christian in fellowship and live your life. Personally, I believe that there needs to be small, autonomous gatherings of the church. I don't care if you're in a big, huge mega church expression or you're in a smaller one, but there has to be some autonomousness to the concept of you be able to hang out with some people and allow God to be God in the midst of that while you're there. And so when you show up in the big gatherings, you're showing up healthy, but you're living your life with other parents and other fathers and mothers and children, and they know your life and you know their life and they care about you. And it's just, you know, Jesus did it with 12. And so you need to build those relationships. It doesn't mean you have to leave where you are, but you can, with all of that there, you can find somebody who wants to be able to have a relationship, build a small group and meet on a regular basis and just live your life together, eat together, pray together, dedicate yourselves, you know, to the teachings of God together. And you know what? You'll stick and stay and stand even when it stinks, because you make such a difference. All of hell has been against you, sir. And I'll tell you, don't give up. Fall to your knees, call out to God, and follow those instructions. We'll be right back.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.